GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar.
Hello everyone and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. Ciarán Whelan will be along a little bit later on to chat football, but Jackie Tyrrell and Colm Keyes are with myself and Rory to chat hurling first. So let's bring you through the lie of the land then. Let's start in Munster, lads, and it's finally poised, you'd have to say, with two rounds to go. Limerick on top on four, Waterford on three, Clare and Cork on 2 points, and Tip on 1 point. And Jackie, you'd have to say, between similar situation when we get to Leinster, being in this scenario with two rounds to go where we have no idea who's going to come out is the perfect recipe for chaos this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, nobody's out nor nobody's in, Jackie. So it's
like Lanigan's ball.
Yeah. And you'd like to think there's a feel of moving day in the golf in terms of it, but still not, you know, there's still another round to go. So, but it definitely think that after this weekend, it will shape up in some format with both provinces. You'd like to think that there'll be a front runner for each provincial final, and then there'll probably be two or three wrestling out for that other spot, and then third could be at, really. So, yeah, and even like probably picking games, they all, to be fair, of equal measure. There's no one game that I'd go, right, that's the game this weekend. That's the pivotal one that's going to make or break the whole season for each team, you know. You can go right across all the games, down to Antrim Galway, down to Carlow Wexford, huge across Leinster, and the two Munster ones. It's so evenly split. Possibly one of the most even provincial championships we've had since it started back in 2018.
Yeah, it feels that way. It does. I don't know though, Rory. I don't want to nitpick particular games, but like Tip Cork is definitely a knockout game. You know, you could say with the others, Clare Waterford, you don't know, because even if they were to draw, potentially they're both still in it. Tip Cork though seems to me like it is pure knockout. One of them is definitely gone this weekend.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what? No, I'm going down. Can't wait. I'm going to bring my small fella. We sat down the other night, the two of us, and I rewatched Cork and Limerick, and he sat down with me. He's getting into the hurling now, and he was just transfixed. He's obviously a dub, but I'm bringing him down and like, just can't wait. There's a real feel of, it's like old times. It's like, you know, it's like the old knockout Munster Championship feel to it. And I was chatting to a very good friend of mine. They listen to the pod regularly, Mark Barry and his son, Dara. I've given him a shout out there because I know they love listening in. And Mark was at the match last Saturday night and he was telling me, like, afterwards, they went up into the town, up into Cork City afterwards, and he said the place was just, he said, if you lit a match, the thing would have exploded, the electricity, and just coursed through the whole place. So there's going to be a huge crowd, massive crowd coming up. I think there was only Killinan End tickets left. Now, they released a few more for some of the stands I managed to get my hands on too. But like 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, Thurles, probably close to 40,000-45,000, I would imagine. Mostly red, I would probably assume, given the fact that they'll be riding that crest of a wave. And I just can't wait.
Mm. Do you know the difficult thing, I think, for hurling people, Jackie, is if they'd have seen this Cork in the first round, there would be an awful lot more to be excited about. It just seems we've waited an awful long time for them to light that match that Rory's talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And look, there was improvements from the Clare performance in the second one. It's just, you know, when you have a county probably going back maybe October, November starting, and their first round, everyone is talking about championship, which is in April. That first round performance is so limp, is so poor, is lacks so many traits that you want. It just doesn't come true. And then you're kind of going, right, where are they going? Where's Pat Ryan going with it? Second performance in Clare, an awful lot more positive. And then just the third one. That's exactly, as a manager, looking out at your team, that's exactly what you want to see from the point of view of execution, of composure, of leadership, of fire, of anger. Everything you want out of a team was all there to see. And all the questions that people asked, they answered that week. But the huge question, I'd say the most difficult thing for Pat Ryan is to pick his team up or bring them back down or whichever and prepare them for this weekend mentally and physically.
That's it.
I would say that is going to be huge for them. And it is a slight advantage to Tipperary, who have a better run in and a preparation for it. You know, they will get confidence from it. That's the upshot of it. The negative of it is the actual exhaustion, that Limerick draw of you. And we've seen teams have gone toe-to-toe for Limerick for 80 minutes. The following week, there's always a little lag and a sag. Just in the energy levels, you think like of Seamus Harnedy, Patrick Horgan, they're the wrong side of 30. How is their bodies? How are they mentally this week? Can they get that level of performance out of them again?
That's the big question.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely the big question. Sorry, Jackie.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it to you and to Colm. I think that's the biggest question of all, because if they can solve that conundrum, who knows what their trajectory is. But if they can't solve it, they're gone, Colm. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's such a it's a real challenge for them. Obviously, what Cork did on Saturday night has really fired things up. But I thought Tipperary showed so much in coming back the last day in those last few minutes when it looked like it was gone for them. And I think it would have been gone at that stage as well against Waterford. So to get back, that gives them something to claw to. There's no doubt about it. But it's great to have a knockout game. I know it's obviously going to lead to perhaps one dead rubber in the last round, but it is great to have a knockout game at this stage of the Munster competition, even though it's such a big game for both.
Yeah, it is. And I think Tipperary, Colm, you just don't know. You're right. The way that they've managed to drag themselves back into this is commendable. But I mean, I've heard them described as a basket case. I've heard them described as all kind of things. And even Shane McGrath on this podcast has just said, I don't know from one end of the week to the next what you're going to get out of them. And I guess it's like Cork. If we'd seen the true shape of this team from early on, at least you'd be able to say a little bit more about what you're going to expect from them on Sunday.
Well, I don't know. Do they still know the best shape of their team? I don't know. I think of all the top teams, I think they're most far away from knowing what their best team actually is. And that was quite apparent after the league semi-final against Clare. And obviously the number of changes made after that and three more changes made coming into the Waterford game, they really don't know. They have a lot of players, I feel, Tipperary have a lot of players around the same standards, without very few that are taking them to the next level. And actually the two forwards that you would say, Jake Morris and Jason Ford, that do elevate them, maybe that little bit higher, are not going particularly well at the moment. Jake Morris was obviously held scoreless against Limerick. He did come up with 3 points the last day. And Jason Ford's free-taking, strangely enough, and you put him down as 90%, above 90% all the time. And it really went against him against Clare. There was a few 65s down against Limerick, albeit he did score. He did score 8 frees. But a few 65s you'd normally expect him to get. And the last 8 too. And then he was taken off. So they're their two primary forwards that you would think their main score getters. Not going particularly well. So that's a concern for them. Against that, Mark Keogh, I felt, he really, really came of age against Waterford the last day. I think he offers something. He offers real direction to them in attack. But I think without Ford and Morris really, really going well, they're a little bit handicapped ahead of this weekend.
Yeah.
One thing, Jackie, as well, I do think from a Cork perspective, and again, not to be getting too parochial about it, this is their, I think, one key point. This is their last game. There's no point in saving it. Just whatever you have left in the tank at this stage, there's no point in keeping that back. So whatever reserves of energy that they do have, and they will have gained a shot in the arm, the adrenaline of the victory will be something for them to attach themselves to in terms of energy levels. So, but there's absolutely no doubt that Tipperary sitting down for 2 weeks, you would assume they'll come out of the blocks flying and they'll go after Cork nice and early and see how much lethargy might have crept into their play as a result of the amount of energies that they had to expend getting that win last Saturday night. So look, it's set up perfectly from Tip's perspective as well. I think they are searching. They're searching for something. The problem is it's a pretty fraught environment to try to be finding your feet on the run. I thought they had showed really good patches of form during the league and then were abysmal against Clare in that semi-final, where I thought the wheels came off a little bit in terms of momentum, in terms of what Liam Cahill was trying to do. And, you know, it's been a sort of a very unsteady ship since. But look, they're at home. They love Thurles just as much as Cork do. So it's set up.
Yeah, it is. What about the knock-on effect, Jackie, of Cork beating Limerick for everybody else in the competition? Because Clare obviously came close and then fell apart in that last kind of quarter or whatever. Waterford will feel they're right in the shake-up as well. I wonder what the knock-on impact of those teams looking in is now that let's go and seize our chance, because Limerick are fallible as well. And I think for Clare, had they taken that victory, they'd find themselves in a completely different position. They still have destiny in their own hands this weekend, though.
Yeah, look, there's a couple of things when you kind of sift through the game that you'd kind of look at. Look, they are beatable, which is the first thing. But when you look a little deeper, when you look at how Cork beat them at their own game in lots of ways, with physicality, with pace, Cork's puck out and how direct they went and literally went down the throat off Limerick and had huge success in terms of getting to the break, turning them over, getting scores off the back of it. And there is little signs in their defence that they are starting to cough up opportunities for goals. Cork took some. Nicky Quaid brought off some great saves. Cork could have easily, with a bit more clinical about them, had 4 or 5 goals, which we've never really spoke about with Limerick. Energy just maybe off a little bit. So I'd say Limerick are happy to get the down week, get those energy levels and get a bit of freshness back into it. But when you do look under the surface, there are some tactical things that Cork did that you kind of look and go, there's something there maybe we could go after. That much vaunted half back line, I thought of outside of Kyle Hayes, I thought Dermot Burns and Declan Hannah are probably having one of their poorest years, particularly Dermot Burns. Like, when would we see a player run at Dermot Burns and put the ball over his head and go around the other side and get the ball? He might go around and
what,
the other
what
side.
Would you have done it? What would you have done it? What we've done in that scenario,
just
step Jackie
aside and let him away. Yeah. I know Hickey waiting from inside.
If the black card was in your day, you'd have been done numerous times anyway, that's for sure.
So some of our key players are probably just a little off form. So for the rest of the country looking in, they won't pay too much heed to it now because they're not facing Limerick, but it might be a reference point later on in the year. If they see it again, you know, there's something there. Sean Finn has obviously gone injured now as well, so their personnel, they have to rejig the pack again. So I think there will be the learnings for the teams looking in on it.
What sort of shape do you think Clare are in, Colm?
I think they're in good shape, Jackie. Very good shape, actually. You think back, and obviously with Cork beating Limerick now, it probably changes the perspective on that Clare game. And Jackie mentioned Dermot Burns not going so well. It was actually one of the areas of his game that's not going well. And obviously, if you go back to the second half of the All-Ireland final, his free-taking is such an asset. Long-range frees, such an asset to Limerick. But actually, he's been mishitting them a little bit more this year. And one of those mishits obviously led to the first Limerick goal that began that comeback. Without that, would they have beaten Clare? Possibly not. Just possibly not. So if you work back from that and you think, well, Clare was so well on top, and then the pressure was on them going into Páirc Uí, and more pressure then when they went 7 points down, and they responded, and they really responded. And I think Shane O'Donnell, what an advertisement for, I think Shane O'Donnell in a football context, Damien Comer sitting out of league and coming back in, and both of them are performing to the way they are performing. So I think a very settled team, Clare. I think maybe in the full back line, a little bit of vulnerability, but elsewhere, they are really looking, they're looking the part. And I think they'll be, you know, they'll get a lot of confidence from having seen Cork beating Limerick. And, you know, the flaws that maybe were apparent that we weren't seeing in the opening two games, maybe they were there in the Clare game, but disguised by that goal off the that Burns miss hit. So maybe we start to look at a little bit differently and say, well, Clare are very compact. They know what their best team is. Perhaps a little bit more protection for their full back line. But I think their recovery in the second half in Páirc Uí really stands to them well now.
Yeah, I agree, Rory. I think they're in a good place. I think given what they went through on the opening weekend, for them to still be in this place now where they know a win at the weekend and they can pretty much start looking ahead, Munster final and beyond. And I think they'd be happy enough now, given the rattle that they got that opening day.
Yeah, look, I think from Clare's perspective, like defending league champions, their record against Waterford is top class. I think they're you mentioned, are they in a good place? I think they are. I think they're in an exceptional place. I think the only thing that will probably stick in their craw a small bit is they're only on 2 points after playing such an incredible amount of hurling in both games. Now, to go down to Cork and get a win, again, that showed a massive amount of resilience. Cork were very far ahead midway through that second half. And it showed, now obviously the sending off had an effect. I'm sure it did. But they have, like, I think they're very solid all the way through. They've got strength and depth. I think, you know, they have had a little bit of an issue in goal. They've chopped and changed. They've now decided to stick with Ivor. I think that's probably the wise move. He's the more experienced most experienced goalkeeper that they have. I just look at the first round victory that Waterford had over Cork, and people depicted that as a big surprise. I didn't. I thought it was more of a 50-50. If Waterford go up and turn Clare over in Ennis, I think that's a huge shock.
Yeah, yeah. Can we finish off on Waterford, Jackie? Because I do actually think Rory is right. The Cork game, when you looked at the spine of that Waterford team, when you saw it on paper, you thought, okay, this is actually a team that comes to play. Clare, I think a lot of people at the start of this year would have said, are on a different level to both Waterford and Cork. So Rory's probably right in what he's saying. A significant win this weekend, and I think that changes the whole dynamic of how we're looking at Waterford.
Yeah, but I wouldn't agree. I don't think it's a huge shock if Waterford beat Clare. I know going to Ennis is quite challenging in that, but let's look at Waterford and judge them on their two championship performances so far. Really, really good across all the kind of key things we look for.
No Conor Prunty this week now, maybe.
Yeah, but look, when he went off, Rory, you know, they were able to move things around. Kieran Bennett's dropped back deep. Irla Daly, Tadhg De Burke offers some huge protection there. They're able to juggle it around. And I'm hugely impressed with Waterford. They're completely a different team than the league in terms of how they set up, their personnel, how they use the ball, how more direct they are. The players that were out of form are suddenly all back in form. Desi Hutchinson, Stephen Bennett, Jamie Barron. So much to like about this team. Hugely athletic, particularly from half-back into midfield, and the line breakers that can punch a hole in the opposition's half-back line. I think of Neil Montgomery. I think of Darragh Lyons, who's got a new lease of life. I think of Jamie Barron. I think of Caelum Lyons coming from deep. So many options. And then you've inside, you've Desi and Stephen Bennett. So, like, I wouldn't be saying a shock. I'd probably give Clare slight favourites being home advantage and maybe have a bit better of a panel, but oh God, I give Waterford a really good chance. They're galvanised down there. Davey has turned the wheel with this group. An awful lot to like about them. And some of their lesser known players, the likes of Kieran Bennett, the likes of Darragh Lyons, are performing at a really, really high level. You dove that tail with the key guys they have, the Bennetts that we spoke about, Jamie Barron, and you have a really, really good team. All with the backdrop of this team who haven't got Austin Gleeson. So I think this is a dangerous, dangerous fixture for Brian Lone and Clare. Mm. And you think of it, how much would Davy Fitz love to go into Ennis and turn one over?
Ah, yeah. I mean, listen, note, it'd Jackie, be wild, wouldn't it? Yeah.
He has actually made his exit over the last 4 years from the Championship to Brian Lohan's Clare. 3 times with Wexford, and the third game in the Munster Championship last year effectively did end them last year when Waterford lost to Clare. So 4 years running, he's exited at Brian Lohan's hand. So I embellish what you say that there'd be more. One player actually, looking back at the Waterford Tipperary, Mikey Kiley, full forward, had a really, really good game against Tipperary. Really, really strong and effective player. Very physical, I thought, and that's something that Waterford haven't always been able to bring, but he brings it, and I think that makes a difference. And they'll need it, obviously, in against Conor Cleary there.
Physical game to look forward to. Two cracking games in Munster this weekend. In Leinster as well, a couple of very interesting games. Finally poised here as well. You've got Dublin after 3 rounds on top, which I actually genuinely don't think too many people would have predicted, even given the way that they have been going. You've got Kilkenny on 4, Waterford and Galway on 3 points, Antrim on 2 and Carlow on 1. And I wonder, Jackie, is it a case of Kilkenny and Galway not performing to what we might have expected? Or is it that Antrim, Dublin, Wexford, Carlow have all overperformed against those teams?
A bit of both, Jackie. And I thought for 1 week in the podcast that you might start with Leinster hurling, considering the backdrop, but you just had to give the tip of the hat to Munster. But look, we let you have it for probably
next week.
Yeah, we live in hope, Jackie.
Next week when Dublin beat Kilkenny,
yes,
and they're in the Leinster final, that'll have to be the opening segment. There's definitely a bit of both in it. There's no doubt about it. Kilkenny and Galway haven't performed to the level that they have. Definitely Antrim and Carlow have raised that, and Micheál O'Donoghue has just gone about his business so quiet. Very interesting, the comments from Derek Ling after the Carlow game. Quite bullish, quite black and white, no excuses. Didn't perform when the game was there to be won. We let go of momentum, all due to Carlow, and gave them the credit and said, we have no excuses and we need to look at that. And the last time I heard those kind of comments from Derek is when they went down to Clare and Clare beat us in the league, and he kind of came out and kind of said, look, lads need to start putting their hands up here for championship space. So I would say it's been quite a hostile environment in Kilkenny this week in the training. You know, people in Kilkenny are probably asking a few questions. With all due respect to Carlow, we should have been beating them. We had the game in our hands. We lost a man. We were still in control of the game. And we just completely went out of the game and handed an advantage to Carlow. And in fairness to Carlow, they took the initiative. So Kilkenny, there'll be serious questions. Whether we have this lad or that lad, Adrian Mullen or Owen Cody, we expect to win. We expect to beat Carlow. We expect to go to Parnell this weekend and win, which we have a reasonably good record in the round robin. And I expect to see an angry Kilkenny performance, kind of probably, and you'll see Derek quite animated on the sideline. He'll be expecting big things. There'll be questions asked of Owen Murphy this week, TJ Reid, some of the key guys. Hugh Lawler was outstanding. Some of the other lads, where did you go? John Donnelly, out of the game, not good enough. We need to see more from you and maybe a few changes with it.
Mm. On the flip side of that, Rory, I think Dublin, the way that they're going, will have absolutely no fear against Kilkenny, because they'll be thinking, we're playing really well here. We're actually the ones in control. And, you know, Jackie is right. Kilkenny have just not looked themselves. And yes, they are missing an absolute spine of the team. And I think that has to be at the forefront of people's minds, that this is a different Kilkenny team without those key players. But still, they should have been winning some of these games that they've left behind too.
It's an opportunity for Dublin.
But
we've said that many, many times over the course of history. And I was just looking there. I think they've one win over Kilkenny in 80 years in championship. Now that's not a great.
Thanks, Rory. I was playing that.
I was just going to say you were playing, and I was also going to say that's how long ago it was. Sorry, Jack.
What's that? 2013. Yeah,
2013, correct.
Gary Sutcliffe, correct.
Correct.
The goal at the end,
yeah. In fairness, and they're flattered to deceive, and have gone in against Kilkenny on some occasions where you're expecting them to deliver a performance, they've been flat. And now the sad reality is this isn't going to be an ambush, because you're going to be facing a Kilkenny that is definitely coming in with backlash mentality. But I think they're going to have to do it at some stage. Why not Saturday? And just on a particularly side note, €15 for me and €5 for kids to go in. Because we're bringing a gang of young lads to come in and watch the match on Saturday. Because like €5 to see TJ Reid. I mean, it's incredible value. Incredible value. And I know we give out about the GA a lot. But like for €20 for myself and the small lad to go in and watch that match on Saturday is outstanding value, really. Like, it's nearly too cheap, but we shouldn't have said that. But yeah, looking forward to it. But I do think Kilkenny are just, you'd expect a reaction, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. You would, Colm. It's just because we haven't seen it, we don't know.
Yeah, it's just with Adrian Mullen and Owen Cody, I mean, through the league and over the last number of years, their influence is growing and growing and growing. And they're really, really good players that really elevate Kilkenny, I feel, at the moment. Obviously, TJ Reid has been taken for granted that he will do what he do. But Mullen and Owen Cody especially, just getting them better and better. And without them, just evens it up a little bit. You'd always expect that reaction, but from Kilkenny. But just without Mullen and Cody, that difference that they bring, I think it evens up a lot more than maybe Kilkenny might have bargained for.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fair, Jackie, because I don't think even Derek would have foreseen that he'd be in this position with this game. I think he'd like to feel that he'd know a little bit more about his team, that he could operate without these. TJ isn't going to be around forever either. You know, there does need to be something beyond this kind of a talisman too.
Yeah, and Colm raised a good point. The thing that kind of eluded Kilkenny more than ever in that second half against Carlow's leadership. Mm. Guys that could win the ball, particularly in the forwards, and Adrian Mullen and Owen Cody would be your guys that you'd be looking to, along with TJ. So they're more than likely not going to be there the weekend. So who are the leaders going to step up? Who are the guys that are going to grasp this game and drive it on? To be fair to John Donnelly, he has done it this year and has been really consistent. So they will look to him. They will put it up to him. So it's a huge game. It's a huge game for Kilkenny. It's a massive game for Dublin. And there's, you know, you look through that Dublin team, there's a bit of newness kind of creeping up in style of play, in the way they set up. I think Keane O'Sullivan is probably one of the most underrated hurlers in the country. I think he's an outstanding forward for them. Owen O'Donnell position in a full-back. Chris Crummie, there's a lot of strength and robustness there. Paddy Smith is a very unheralded cornerback, doesn't give a whole lot away. So it's going to have to take a gritty performance out of Kilkenny to go up to Parnell Park, turn Dublin over and get those 2 points and try turn the season back around.
Mm. Whatever about their form, Galway's form is as suspicious, Rory, when you're watching them over the last couple of weeks. Just so up and down. Again, yes, one win against Antrim this weekend changes everything around for them. But I think Antrim, again, will feel they're in the shake-up. And that's why this Leinster competition has been so good. Again, Antrim's form, incredibly patchy, brilliant one day, really not shipping 30-odd points the next. But I still think that because of Galway's form, they'll feel that there's a chance here.
They always do as well in Corrigan Park. It's I've only been up there once. It's an unusual GA ground, like it's for an inter-county ground anyway. It's a club ground. So they will feel that they'll have a chance. It'll just depend. I mean, we mentioned earlier, Jackie, about Tipperary and the Tip searching for something and not really sure of themselves. I think you could probably put that moniker on Galway as well.
Yeah.
It is so inconsistent from even within games. You just don't know. You just don't know with Galway. I always kind of compared the Galway hurlers. They're a bit like the French rugby team. On one day they could turn up and absolutely hurl you off the field, and then another day they could stink the place out. And I'd say it's a frustrating thing from Henry's perspective, from the supporters, and also for the players. They can't really afford to go up to Corrigan Park though on Saturday and lose. They just can't. It's unconscionable from their point of view.
Yeah, it is. And Colm, I think that's exactly the way that Henry should be bullish about this one, because if they want to win All-Irelands and Leinster's, they need to be going to Antrim this weekend and laying down a marker.
Yeah, and they have a pretty good record of dispatching teams like Antrim and Westmeath, and they run up big tallies against them, Portland and away, and that's been a feature of recent Leinster championships and even in the league. But the absence of fight against Wexford the last day, and even after Wexford went down to when Keane Byrne was sent off, actually it was Wexford that lifted it and went again, and they won. They won all the not 50-50 battles. There were 60-40 battles against Wexford players, and they were coming out with it. And just that desire that Wexford brought to it the last day. Obviously there was a need and there was a rebound, but I felt Galway were really, really casual. And in truth, they had to get goals against the Kilkenny team that were missing key players as well in the previous round. So altogether against the likes of Wexford and Kilkenny, they just have not been bringing fight to it. And I think that's Henry Shefflin's biggest concern. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of local debate about having so many of the established players that date back to 16, 15, 2014, and even back further. And you know, those four in a row minor teams, that's not really, really relevant. They just have not brought enough fresh and new players through, I feel, that have made a difference. And the team just seems to be a bit stale. There was no difference in the second half against Wexford for Galway as it was with Limerick in the second half last year. They just completely lost their way. But more so against Wexford, they gave up the fight, and that's most concerning for Henry.
Mm. Can we finish off on Carlow, Jackie? Because I think just their story to me is the one that I mean, they're not going to get out of a Leinster Championship, but actually it's more about having them staying in the Leinster Championship at this point, I think the conversation has moved to, because the progression that they've made, I was listening to Paul Cody talking during the week just about what it has taken over the last 10 years to even get them to here. And this is a county that we should be pushing forward. They should be given every opportunity to strive forward in Leinster, given what they've shown us over the last couple of weeks. And whatever you say about Kilkenny having to, should have won that game, for Carlo to stay in the fight and to be able to get something out of it is magnificent for them. And I think they should be given all the resources in the world to make them even better.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jackie. And how many times have we seen games where an underdog, you know, the bigger team, we say, or the stronger team in it, loses their way a bit, but yet they still see it out and the other team just don't really capitalize on it. Be under no illusion. Carlo, when they got the initiative, played some really, really good strategic hurling, played a good brand, got the ball into their shooters and had a really good last 15, 20 minutes of clinical hurling, took their opportunities. And when the need was at the most, they took every chance they got. And even that last free, I know a lot of people look at it and give me, that's huge. That's probably Carlo's biggest performance ever. And it's weighing on the shoulders of Mouse Kavanagh. And, you know, I just think it's brilliant for those guys to be really highlighted. They live closer, so we know all about those guys. We played Shinty with them, Chris Nolan and the likes, really, really good hurlers. But we can't have this as just lip service on a podcast that, you know, giving Carlo their dues. They're a really, really proud hurling county. We had a teacher in school, Pat Murphy, he was an Irish teacher, one of the most fanatical hurling men I ever came across. You know, I thought of him the weekend when I was over disappointed. I said, God, I'd say Pat Murphy is on top of his shed jumping off it at the minute because he's so happy. But what do we do from here? What does the GAA do to develop hurling in a county like Carlow that's mad and starving for more support, more help to bring the game on there? And that needs to be brought to the GAA, because these pockets raise themselves every so often. And if we don't come in and support it with a strategic plan, it'll just fall away. And in fairness, I listened to that same interview and the concerns that Carlow would have over the amount of participation with clubs and players in the small pool that Tom Mullally's pulling off.
Yeah,
and
Jack, well, like six senior teams, Rory. Like, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, for them to even have an inter-county team, you need such a level of success at those. For the other four teams to even get to senior, to be able to have 10 teams competing at a senior league is still a long distance off. And that's what they're dealing with, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's extraordinary because, look, we all know it is largely a numbers game. Like, the depth of numbers that you can put through, and obviously the quality of coaching too. But like, they have a couple of advantages. Firstly, their satellite space on Kilkenny border, which will obviously mean you're right next door to a wealth of knowledge and information and education. So that's definitely one major advantage. But you know, I suppose fleshing out regional leagues is something that the Leinster Council, I think, should start to look at a little bit more to try and increase competition, not just in Carlow. They have started to experiment with that, the Leinster Council. We took part in a football version ourselves this year. I think that would help to try and improve standards and give people more games, not just to consistently see that your club games are restricted to within county bounds. I think being slightly more imaginative is the obvious first place to go on.
Sorry, some of the Carlow teams do compete in the Kilkenny League.
Yeah.
That's right, Jackie, they do.
And Nace actually play, Jackie, Nace play underage in Kilkenny as well.
So you can see
we might have to kick him back out again now.
But you know, the funny thing about this fixture, Jackie, would you be surprised if Wexford were beaten by Carlow, but then went into Nolan Park next week and turned Kilkenny over?
No, but that's why this is such a massive opportunity for Carlow, because actually, given what they showed last week, I think now why wouldn't they feel that they can go and have a rattle off Wexford?
I did a piece with Liam O'Neill, the former GA president, who has some views on this, and this is before the Leinster, or maybe it was after the first round. And he made a few suggestions, and one of them was that the Joe McDonagh Cup winners from the previous year should get Leinster Championship immunity for a year after that. That was a suggestion, just to keep them up, to give them an extra year. So now Carlow have got a draw. How do they build on that? Well, maybe if they're in the Leinster Championship another year after that. And the other concept that they come up with was to give the Joe McDonagh Cup champions all home games. Now, that mightn't be preferable to the teams. They like to travel. But you look at the advantage maybe that Antrim had over Wexford and consequently Carlow. That mightn't be such a big advantage But maybe there was something, maybe there are competitive advantages in Leinster that could be afforded to these teams to help sustain them, to give them sustainability in a Leinster Championship. If Carlow drop back down, they might not win next year's McDonagh Cup. And there is that. There is, they lose ground straight away. Whereas if they get that immunity for a year, well, it gives them next year as well. And it's just, they're talking points. And obviously there are drawbacks to having a team playing home the whole time because there's expense involved and all of that. But it's definitely something worth looking at to keep the likes of Carlow in the Leinster Championship. I know it shouldn't be a development ground and it's a very genuine competition and we can see that now, but it could become a better competition consequently.
Yeah, certainly if they broadened it out and had more teams in it and it was a Kerry, a Westmeath, an Offaly, whoever it was, Laois, for a lot of those counties playing in the Joe McDonagh, I think if they thought that they could play in an 8-team league or a 10-team league, then I think lots of people would love to have that to aspire to. But look, we're not going to solve all those problems for today. We will look forward to the weekend. Jackie, yeah, thanks a million for being with us because fingers crossed for your Kilkenny side this weekend that they can start to show us some of the glimmers of hope. But Leinster hurling on the bill first next week, Jackie. That's a promise.
Appreciate that, Jackie. Thanks very much.
Talk to you soon. All right, Kieran Whelan is with us now to chat football. And just a reminder for the group stages as they start this weekend. Group 1 has Galway, Armagh, Derry, Westmeath. Group 2, Dublin, Mayo, Roscommon, Cavan. Group 3 is Donegal, Clare, Tyrone and Cork. And Group 4, Kerry, Louth, Monaghan and Meath. No doubt about it, Kieran, though. The big game of the weekend, I think Galway, Derry. Everybody's been waiting for Derry to see. Been nearly a month since they've played. I think it's just what Mickey Hart has done with this time. What are you expecting them from this weekend?
I think, Jackie, to be fair, you're probably expecting a reaction from them. You know, I was up in that game against Donegal back in April, and to be honest, there might have been a touch of complacency about them. They're being talked up after beating the Dubs, and They were off the pace that day. Not only the mistakes, they're well documented around the goal. Their tackle count would have been down. The levels of intensity you'd expect from them went there, and it was a bad performance. And it probably, you know, I would have thought Mickey Hart over the last few weeks has now flipped that into a positive. It was a reset for them. I still rate Derry very highly. I really do. I think they've been, you know, on an upward curve. I think the quality they have right throughout their team, I still see them as one of the big contenders. I really do. And I think they may look at that game against Donegal as in hindsight as a good kick up the arse for them. And I'm expecting them to come out of the blocks. They've had a few weeks off now to regroup, digest, you know, look at their whole game plan, because had they got a little bit too adventurous, you know, as I said as well, document those goals they conceded. And it'll be interesting to see the role of Aaron Lynch, and are they a little bit more conservative in making sure they have a little bit of protection at the back, that they're not going to go conceding 3 or 4 goals and not leave themselves exposed. And on the flip side of that, I think Galway, you know, there might be an element of like, there was huge relief. You could see the relief a couple of weeks ago when they beat Mayo for Pádraig Joyce and what it meant to them. But I think if you dig into that performance a little bit deeper, you know, you look at even the last free of the game could have gone the other way easily to Mayo. You know, there was very, very little in that game. They got 3 frees to fall over the line, essentially. And Damien Comer was immense. So you kind of question, is he going to get that space and time at the weekend? You know, Derry will definitely have their homework done on him. Will Shane Walsh start? And you question where Galway scores are maybe going to come from. So I just think it's a combination of a team that's regrouped, will be fresh, will be full of appetite and drive against a team that maybe slightly in celebration mode and hasn't really got back on the horse. So I'm expecting that Derry will come out of the blocks.
Interesting clash of those two mentalities, Colm, because Kieran is right. You do have Galway riding on that high of a Connacht title, but I think Derry probably will have learned a lot in sitting back over the last few weeks and watching the football, and the break actually might not have done them any harm.
I think it'll do them no harm. In fact, I think it'll do them ultimately, for their long-term goal, Jackie, it'll do them a lot of good. Three in a row in Ulster is a very, very difficult thing to do. Very few teams have done it in the, what we'd say, the post-Cavan dominance, when Cavan were the really the only team in Ulster up to the 1950s. Since then, the Great Down team in the early 60s, they did three, and Joe Kernan's Armagh did it. So there's a reason why lots of very, very good Ulster teams don't get the three. They'll get the two, but not three. It's so difficult to keep coming back, and it draws so much out of you. And for Derry to go and beat Donegal, and then Tyrone and Armagh, that was a really difficult challenge for a team that had already been to a league final and had played to a really high standard. You know, Donegal and Armagh, albeit were in Division 2 this year. So it was a really challenging early part of the season for Derry, having been through such long seasons, obviously up to All-Ireland semi-finals the previous 2 years. So Kieran mentioned the word reset. I don't think they will do a whole lot different. I think they'll still play because they see that bit of risk that they take, even with Oran Lynch coming out. I still think we'll see him coming out. Maybe not immerse himself so much into the kickouts as he did that night. I think they'll be a lot more cautious around that. And I think actually one of the areas will be their scramble defence, that when Lynch is pressed up so high, I didn't think the reaction in some cases from Derry against Donegal was great in trying to scramble back to protect the goals when they were clearly exposed. I think it was great. I thought they left a lot of space that could have been covered quicker. When you look back at that game, that sense of urgency and even the urgency to chase that game when they were behind, I don't feel it was there. So I think they'll be more cautious in their use of Lynch and pushing up so high, but they'll still go and do it. Reset is the right word here, because that's what it is. No more than Mayo last year. Now, Mayo didn't really get the bounce from being out early against Roscommon. For the first game, obviously, against Kerry, they did. And I feel that's something that Derry will get the benefit of too. Just being able to sit out, draw breath, and just take that break and that pause in the middle of the championship. It's a long championship, and I see a benefit this weekend for them. You mentioned Galway coming off a high. There was a lot of jubilation at that win because they were really, you know, the management were probably under a bit of pressure to come in and beat Mayo in a game of that consequence. And it was liftoff for them in 2022 as well. So they may feel that they will get that as well. And getting so many of their better players back will be a big help too.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, you think about Galway, that team that were in the All-Ireland final, Rory, just a couple of years ago, and everybody's saying this team is going places. Suddenly, nobody's talking about them. And it is because those key players have not been there. You know, I don't know if there's another team who have had to deal with the amount of injuries that Pádraig Joyce did throughout that league campaign. I think they were the most heavily impacted of all of them, actually. And consequently, we did not see the best of Galway. But you might see a bit of it this weekend if those key players are involved. And if they take down a Derry, I think then they do become part of the conversation.
Very good record as well. Historically, traditionally, I don't think Derry have beaten Galway in the championship ever. Now, I don't know how many, I think maybe only 4 or 5 times that they've met. But it includes that semi-final from 22 where Lynch was caught again walking.
Your favourite game, lob the goalie.
Lob the keeper. Like. So he was caught again in that game. Now, look, it will be very interesting to see what approach they take to that. Will they be slightly more conservative? I think from Galway's point of view, I think Wheelo's spot on. That the clock was red in that Connacht final and Mayo were 2 points up. So they didn't exactly pull up trees in that, you know, they, I suppose, showed a lot of resilience and a lot of toughness to stick in the game when maybe Mayo, I felt, were probably the better team over the course of the 75, 76 minutes that the match was played. I think he's got a few selection issues. Does he start Walsh? Matthew Tierney potentially fit enough to start? I would absolutely start John Maher. I think that fella is a great bit of stuff. Every time I see him, he always puts in a shift. He will get up and down the field. He mightn't be the most swashbuckling of midfielders. He's certainly not in the class of Rodgers or Glass, but you will absolutely get a shift out of him. And I think that's probably what you're going to need on Saturday. It's in Salt Hill. Derry were there earlier in the league and had a good win, I think, 3-10, 1-11, thereabouts. So, look, their last experience down there wasn't a bad one. It's an intriguing game. And it is significant to see who wins it. I think there's probably more on the line from a Derry perspective to try and get back on the horse quickly. But Galway are at home, and I don't think they will want shoving over too easy either.
Yeah, for sure. Let's look at a couple of the other games then. Mayo Cavan to me is interesting for the same reason, Ciarán, because Mayo will feel that they should have won, could have won that Connacht final and would have found themselves in a different position. That being said, they'll look at this group and say, look, we're still going to come out of this group. We still give ourselves every opportunity to get out of here. How does Kevin go about this one? Because Cavan is, I know, maybe different without Paddy Lynch, but I still think a difficult sort of an opponent that Mayo wouldn't necessarily come up against regularly, this kind of a setup. And I think he's got a lot to think about here.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the game a few years ago, I think, when Derry went down to Castlebar and
qualified. Went extra time, didn't it?
Yeah, and Derry kind of were probably in a similar vein of form, probably the Mayo Cavan were. But I think from Kevin's perspective, Jackie, it's like they're being really top down. And in some ways, like, did a reasonable league campaign. They've done what they have to do against Roscommon and were very close to winning a Connacht title. So they're being kind of, they may not be in as bad a position as people think. I think obviously there's question marks around, you know, their forward line and the role Ryan O'Donoghue, a lot of the pressure is on him to get the scores. But Tommy Conroy has shown a little spark in the last couple of games that he seems to be getting a little bit of confidence back and adding something in that forward line. For me, I think Mayo, it's the balance of their team. I thought they left themselves very exposed at the back to Damien Comer in the Connacht final. You know, they're very good when they do decide to press up, as we saw in the second half against Galway, when they looked like they put Galway under pressure, but they can't do that for the full game. And sometimes, you know, they leave themselves a little bit open at the back. And for me, I'm struggling to understand, like, they've really, I suppose, struggled at times to break down opposition defences, and Galway set up kind of with, you know, two kind of sweepers on the edge of the D, and they got bodies back. And again, Mayo, they just without Paddy Durkin, they didn't have enough line breakers. And I don't know whether the dynamic of their team in the middle third with, you know, Stephen Cohen in there, obviously Matty Ruan's going to get you scores, Jordan Flynn and Jack Kearney, like, you're four big. I don't know whether Kevin has to sacrifice maybe one of them and go with a different type of forward that can break those lines and get in behind the defence. Because the one thing that fascinated me when we were looking back at the Connacht final was even the role that Stephen Cohen took up. He just wanders in to try and occupy a sweeper. He came in about 10 times and he just turns then and wanders back out to the it was actually quite phenomenal. I couldn't understand what he was trying to achieve and stuff like that. So I just think that whole structure around breaking down the opposition defence and their middle third, they need to have more line breakers, guys. They need to go at the defence, and that's where he's going to need a bit of improvement. And Cavan will probably recognise that, and you'll probably see them set up similar as they did against Monaghan. Maybe they will get bodies back. I know Galligan does want them to push forward and go and get scores. Cavan have seemed to have played better when they've fallen behind in games. I think they went 8 down to Tyrone. They came back. They were down against Monaghan. They came back. So the chaotic type of game kind of suits them. But I think you touched on it, Jackie, the Paddy Lynch factor.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the percentage
huge.
Scores
huge.
Getting, yeah. And even the free taker. Have they got a free taker that can come in even and replace him? Like, his accuracy from frees is off the charts. So you'd be worried from a Cavan perspective, who's going to, you know, step up? You know, will it be Oisín Brady, Keane Madden? They're going to have to get scores from the Smiths. And you just worry, will they lack that firepower? And listen, both teams, Mayo don't like playing in Castlebar. Don't have a bad record there. So they're always vulnerable. You can never trust them. But I just think that I actually think Mayo are in a little better place than people are giving them credit for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Lynch thing is huge though, Colm, isn't it? Like, to lose a figure like that, it's not just the scores, it's the leadership, it's the marksman, it's everything around the pitch. They're a completely different team without him.
Well, at one stage during the league, he was tracking, I mean, his conversion rate, he had missed very, very few frees. It was right above 90%. He was getting so much. Cavan haven't had a player like that, a dependent marksman that gives you that kind of return all the time. And he was very good. He got everything he should have got. And obviously that goal at the end, where again, Rory Began was adrift. He got that goal at the end too. So he is a huge loss. Having said that, teams can obviously respond to the loss of their leading forward. Obviously, Kerry were without Colm Cooper. They can do that. There's a psychological that everybody lifts a few percent. But I'd be probably inclined to agree with Kieran that Mayo are being a little undersold. I don't know how much improvement is in Mayo, but I do think they would, they should have this game comfortably enough. I think there will be a little bit of a reaction from them. I just don't know how high their ceiling is, how much improvement is in them. You know, they can move the pieces around in attack quite a bit. There's an option there always to put Ryan O'Donoghue at centre forward. He's one of the best passers of the ball in the game. Never mind just the Mayo team. He's a really, really good passer of the ball. He was probably tied up a little bit the last day by Johnny McGrath, who's a very good man marker, especially for him. He's done very well on him. But I think we'll see Ryan O'Donoghue play with a little bit more freedom this time, and I think he'll get back to where he was in the opening two games. So I see Mayo, I see this as a relatively comfortable game for Mayo.
Yeah. And listen, if it is, Rory, suddenly they're looking, after one weekend, with a foot kind of already in the next round. They're playing Dublin and Roscommon. You'd expect that with one win, if they beat Cavan, then they kind of know, okay, we can sort ourselves out. Whatever about the Dublin game, you'd expect them to beat Roscommon given the way that they've been playing. And I think they probably will have the time to find their feet over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think they need to find it fast, though. I was listening to a couple of different bits and pieces there over the last couple of days, and there seems to be a sense locally in Mayo that they knew very much what James Horne's methodology, game plan, the way he wanted football played. It was all very front foot. It was gung-ho. Let's get runners from everywhere and let's attack from everywhere and attack in big numbers. And that was the way, it was a very exciting brand of football. And I think it's probably the way we all loved watching them. I think there's a sense in Mayo, certainly from what I'm hearing, that they're trying to mix and match a little bit to try and add a couple of more layers into their game, that they can, you know, they can do that front foot football, but they can actually, you know, take a team down that might be playing in a defensive shape, you know, put up presses, add different components into their game, so they're not just one trick ponies, and to make them slightly more unpredictable. But the sense I'm getting is that they're a little bit lost on that, and that their locals are getting a bit nervy, and it just, look, let's just go back to the way James Horne used to play, because at least everyone knew their roles and knew their jobs. But they have had a little bit of transition. They have, just a couple of players have left, obviously. Now it's time for a few of these players to step up. I think his selection issues around midfield, Wheelo's documented it there. I think that is a key point. I mean, who would you pick to start midfield for Mayo? And if they were playing Dublin in a knockout championship match tomorrow, who would be your starting Mayo midfielders?
I would dub Jack Kearney and Matty Ryan. And then you, Dermot O'Connor came off the bench the last day. Like, he can be very influential factor in terms of his defensive role and his offensive role as well. But they would be the two that I'd start in the middle in terms of their ball winning ability and ability to get forward and support the attack and defend. That would be my view. Sorry, but yeah.
So I mean, look, I don't think they'll have any trouble on Saturday. I think they will win this match comfortably enough. And I think in large part down to the fact that I think there will be a blunt edge to Cavan as a result of Paddy Lynch's absence. But this, we won't know too much more about them after Saturday, but it is absolutely a game they need to win.
Mm. What about Kerry, Colm? They play Monaghan this weekend. They've come through a Munster campaign fairly unscathed. Yes, Clare pushed them. Yes, Cork pushed them in different ways, but they were both games that they were expected to win, and they did that. They've got the job done. I was listening to James O'Donoghue talking during the week, just saying, you know, this Kerry team are going to, they'll come through this group kind of handy enough as well, and they probably won't have a really serious game maybe until the very latter stages of the championship. You just wonder what sort of a Monaghan are coming at them this weekend, and do you expect that they'll give them any sort of a scare?
Well, Monaghan's league record against Kerry has been particularly poor since they played that game in Clonus, that draw in 2018. They've played five times, and they've been, you know, Kerry have won every time. And indeed, in the last three games, Monaghan have conceded three goals in each of the games. And that's clearly a pattern that they have difficulty dealing with Clifford's and Sean O'Shea all the time. So from that point of view, and that's not helped by the absence of Darren Hughes now. Darren Hughes is superb to cover off in the D. He plays that role where he gets back and he minds the house, so to speak, for Monaghan. That's missing. He was missing. And when he wasn't there against Cavan, damage was done too in the opening round of the Ulster Championship. They had injuries that day. Whether they have a full squad back for this weekend, I think they'll be travelling with a little bit of trepidation because of their recent record. But Kerry haven't really sparked. David Clifford hasn't really sparked. He showed moments, obviously, that have been very good. But they haven't really taken hold yet, Kerry. And they may not in this group. And I think they'll ease their way through this group. Obviously, mm-hmm. they beat Louth very convincingly last year in Portlaoise in the last game. It's the last game again this year. Maybe there'll be more to Louth this year, given how they set up against Dublin. But I think Kerry will beat Monaghan and Meath comfortably. And it will be an All-Ireland quarter-final before they are properly tested. I think they'll be tested this weekend, but they'll still win well because they have an edge, and this group of players have an edge on Monaghan. I don't see what Monaghan will be able to bring to close that gap or to narrow it down to where it should be from those league games. So probably a little bit of concern over Kerry's midfield. I mean, they're two very good footballers, Dermot O'Connor and Joe O'Connor, but that robustness, that physical edge that they would need for, you know, Fenton and McCarthy, if that comes up, or in time with Glass and Rogers. They did very well against Tyrone, Dermot O'Connor and Jack Barry last year's All-Ireland quarter-final. Obviously, Jack Barry's gone now. So that's one area of concern. And just picking up injuries, Jason Foley's back, but Gavin White the last day. And maybe the strength and depth that Kerry would traditionally have isn't as strong as it would have been in other years.
Mm. And the argument, Ciarán, would be that if you look at those games against Monaghan, Meath, Louth, they're not going to get that physical test. You know, Monaghan relegated to Division 2. So technically, these are all Division 2 sides that they're playing. When you look at some of these other groups, there's a lot of the other teams are going to get the physical tests this weekend. You look at Galway, Derry, and maybe Kerry could do with a bit of that.
Yeah, and I suppose this time last year they got landed on their backsides by Mayo, and you know they were awful that day, and then they had to regroup and come through the group. But yeah, I'd agree with Colin. They're not gonna get a massive team. You would expect Kerry will be comfortable enough in this group, because you even expect Louth, Monaghan, and Meath to put a lot of energy into their games against each other. You know, because that's where they'll probably see the opportunity of getting points. Like I think the thing about Monaghan is Monaghan have been so unpredictable the last few years, though. When you don't expect them to put in a performance, sometimes they arrive at a performance, and sometimes when they're underdogs, they pull a performance out of the bag. But it's a big ask. If that game was in Clonus, you might have a different level of confidence in them. But to travel down to Killarney, no one goes into Killarney and gets out too comfortably. So you would expect that they would win. You know, I think, you know, picking up on what Colin's saying about midfield, and I would still even look at the Kerry defence, and I know Tadhg Morley went back in there and Jason Foley's back in there, but even the Clare game, the Cork game, you know, they're trying to get their structure back, but I think they're missing a lot of tackles. They're missing that first tackle a lot of the time, and players are getting behind. I spoke about this at the start of the year, Jackie, and I still think they've a level of improvement defensively as well. Because you know they obviously have the quality at the other end of the pitch. Sean O'Shea's in flying form. Paddy Clifford is still the man pulling the strings.
Yep.
Yeah, David's skill level was slightly off, probably. Against Cork, but I think defensively, I think they have to be a little bit meaner and tighter. Clare got through them a few times, even when they had their structure back, and that's an area you'd be looking to see where do they improve.
Mm. Well, we expect that they're gonna fly through this group, and you would think from Monaghan, those other games, as Ciarán says, are probably where they're targeting their points, Rory. What about the other group then? Group 3, Donegal, Tyrone, obviously have to wait until the following weekend to get their campaigns going. But for Clare and Cork, when you talk about teams that are targeting particular games, both of these will have looked at each other and said, this is a game that we win, because you would expect the winner of this game is the one that would like to see themselves going through. And they will have both had eyes on this for a long time, because one of them potentially after this weekend might feel that they're scrambling for points.
Big time. I think it's a huge game, actually, in the context of this group. It's effectively to decide who's going to be the third team in most people's eyes. And it's a tricky enough fixture. Like Cork went up to Clare last year and lost. I think it's 50-50. It's absolutely 50-50 game. It's no more than that. I think the only thing from Cork's perspective, they've had a little bit longer as a break. I think the same thing happened last year, and they had to go to Louth in round one and do a similar type thing in that they had to eke out a really tough win to try and kind of set their round robin campaign on the right track. And so it's familiar territory. The defeat last year to Clare, I think, will rankle. Cathal O'Mahony is potentially going to be on the subs, which I think is fantastic news, given the fact that he hasn't kicked the ball in anger, I think, certainly two seasons, maybe mm-hmm. 2 years. I'm not too yeah. sure. I think it was in the Sigerson Cup yeah. of last year when he may have picked up that injury. But that's a huge boost if he can remain injury free. It's an absolutely top class forward that you're adding to the mix, and Rory Maguire also potentially fit. But up there, I think it's a pity in some ways that both counties are out in blockbuster hurling matches the following day, because the crowd will obviously be small. But it'll be extremely competitive.
Yeah, it will be competitive. But I think, Colm, if you looked at their league form this year and said, okay, Cork actually managed to solidify their position in Division 2, Clare in Division 3, I think there's seven positions between them in the league. You know, Rory's right. Lots of people call this a 50-50 game. But actually, if you look at where both teams were playing this year, you'd say it shouldn't be a 50-50 game. Cork should be feeling that they are at a level above. But just the way that things have gone over the last number of years and that championship victory that Clare had over them last year, I think has put that element of doubt in Cork people's minds.
And it would do too, but I was impressed with the way Cork finished the league. They were behind in Navan against Meath, and they were able to dig that out. And then obviously Armagh were in a Division 2 final, but it was a game they didn't want to lose, and Cork were able to, you know, keep with them, and it ended the draw. And then against Kerry, they really put it up to Kerry for a long time in that. And I think there's been a trend, not every year, but there's been a trend of Cork improving from poor league starts or dipping in the middle of the league and improving as the championship season has gone on. And that was very evident last year with the, you know, again, running Kerry pretty close and Páirc Uí Chaoimh, a disputed penalty, followed by the win over Mayo and then Roscommon, and obviously came to Derry, and Derry just had too much power and running for the back for them that day. But there's a lot of strands that if they come together for Cork, and Rory's mentioned Cathal O'Mahony, when they get their best team out on the pitch, I'll be interested to see how much improvement is in Cork then, because I do think there is scope there for them to get a bit better. And I see them winning this. I think revenge is always a good factor for them. Cork, you know, you can't ignore the fact that while Clare have brought in a lot of very good players to fill the gaps were still there. Some of their best players over the last number of years aren't there. And I think it may tell in this round robin campaign.
And Jackie, one small point, which is just a bit of colour, I suppose. Bruce Springsteen is there tonight. He's on in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I say, probably coming onto the stage there in the next hour, because he plays for about 5 hours. Like,
is he on GA Go?
Oh, don't mention the war, Milo. Don't mention the war. but I suppose the reason I bring it up is the consequence of it means that the footballers' home fixture against Donegal, as a result of the damage to the pitch, is going to take place in Páirc Uí Ring. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing.
I'm telling you now. Yeah.
I think they'd be happy enough because a small crowd in Páirc Uí Chaoimh with Donegal.
It's also where they play all the players. They train there. They play all their club football there. It's a proper home venue for Cork football in many ways, you know.
Mm, yeah, for sure. Last word to you then on that, Ciarán. 50-50 game for you, Cork, Clare?
I kind of feel that Cork, if Cork are improving, and they should be improving based on what we've seen against Kerry, Cork should be winning it. They should be winning. They should be that step ahead. And anything less than that, Jackie, I think is disappointing. Now, I fully agree with Colm. Like, Mark Fitzgerald has done an incredible job considering the turnover of players and like the likes of Dermot Coughlin, Aaron Griffin, Brian McNamara were all brilliant the last day, you know, in the Munster final. And they've definitely, like, there's a bit of quality in Clare. But I still think the trajectory that Cork are on, they've got to be winning this with 4 or 5 points to spare.
Interesting weekend ahead, lads. We'll have to leave it there. Ciarán, thanks a million for being with us. And Colm, thanks a million to you too. And you can read Colm in the Irish Independent, of course, all the time. You'll see Ciarán Whelan on all of your platforms right across the weekend. I'm sure you'll be a busy man. Myself and Rory will be back on Monday to review all of the weekend's games. Enjoy them wherever you're going, and don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you soon.
There's the whistle, it's over.